Thinking Aloud on the road again.
Thanks for listening to the third of our special Thinking Aloud programmes from the 93rd Transportation Research Board annual meetings here in Washington, D.C., brought to you by Thinking Highways magazine. The publication's editor-in-chief, Kevin Boris, has joined me, Paul Hutton, here in the capital for the week, and we're also pleased to have former ITS JPO director Shelley Rowe on board, talking to some of the leading figures in the industry. Our programmes are possible thanks to sponsorship by Iteris, Inrix, Trafax and Moxa, and we'll start today with a really interesting guest who's chatting to Shelley.
My name is Melanie Crotty. I'm the Director of Operations at the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. We're based in Oakland, California, and we're the regional metropolitan planning organization for the nine-county Bay Area. And what that really means is we started about 40 years ago as a planning agency where we charted the long-range transportation plan for the region. Over time, we've added quite a few additional duties and responsibilities. And so today, we manage operations of various transportation management systems, and that's what I do. I really help us define and implement innovative, primarily technology projects to improve the transportation experience for our Bay Area residents.
Oh, well, that should be easy. So Melanie, what I'm struck by is the dichotomy of that here we are at TRB, and we're talking about all this ITS technology and automated vehicles and all this stuff that's coming, and it's so exciting. And then you get to fly home and work with planners and looking at land use and sustainability. Tell me, how do you do that, and what are some of the hot things going on in your world around the transportation planning in that area?
Sure. I say it's fun and challenging because I think for all of us right now, we're at such a time of change in transportation, so as much for transportation operations and technology, I would say the planning side, they're also looking at things being done in a very different way. So I think, in a way, we're all kind of trying to figure out where we want to go next together. And I would say some of the disruptive changes that are occurring may affect me more than them, something like the potential of automated vehicles or connected vehicle. But I think another big thing that's happening this year that I wasn't talking about is big data. And I think that affects all of us. And so they're looking at big data to see how that can help them do a better job of modeling and forecasting and understanding what's going on. And, we do a household survey. So how can big data help them have better information and a cheaper way there? So obviously on my side, big data will tell me how what's going on with, I guess I view every person that lives in the Bay Area as a potential customer for our transportation operation systems. And I hope that big data will allow me to have a better relationship with them so we can help tell them about what's going on with the system, help give them better choices about the trips they make. And so we're looking at kind of the same initiative in a very different way, but I think we're both, all of us are really excited about it.
So you work with elected leaders across the Bay Area. Are they thinking about big data, or what's high on their list of interests?
Well, since we are, Silicon Valley is part of our region, I would certainly say that they may be more aware of things like that than your average American elected official. And so we do actually talk about big data on occasion. We talk about Google at our public meetings. So there certainly, I think, is probably a deeper appreciation for the impact that technologies can make on transportation. But at the same time, as a regional agency, we have an enormous agenda that we ask our commission to work plan for them to accomplish. So it's really, really challenging to get them to kind of do a deep dive in conversations about things like this.
What kinds of things are more inclined to talk about? What's easy for them to talk about that's high on their agenda?
If it was easy, we wouldn't be giving it to them to talk about. We only give them hard problems. But, certainly in California, sustainability is what it's all about. And so we're looking at job housing balance and where, as we invest in our future, where should people live and where should they work? And that's really, that's obviously the number one thing for our commissioners to focus on right now.
Have you all begun thinking about what impact connected vehicles, automated vehicles, that sea change in transportation, what impact it will have on land use?
We have not. I think as far as we just adopted our long range plan, and I think that we were really kind of doing more of a traditional kind of forecasting. And well, that's really, I think, the job in front of us right now is to try and do some predictions. That's why I'm at this conference, to help kind of understand what it is that we can do to start thinking about that. But I think it's such a sea change. It's a little tough to see, well, how do we need to change things that have been done in a certain way for many, many years?
Are you struggling to stretch and justify every dollar invested in transportation? Looking for ways to more cost-effectively manage traffic operations, network planning, and performance measurement without sacrificing quality? Need a way to meet the 2014 requirements of the RTSMIP without breaking the bank? INRIX can help you conquer these challenges with powerful yet easy-to-use analytics tools and the best traffic data available. INRIX Analytics turns information into insight. Insight that drives cost out of operations, improves planning, and facilitates performance measurement. INRIX Analytics can help you do more with less.
It wouldn't be a show or an event without bumping into David Pickerel. And I have, once again, David, you are obviously representing IBM, but you're giving a paper on Thursday, which sounds really interesting to me. Can you tell our listeners about it, and maybe the people that are here at the show listening to the program will come along and give you some moral support? What's it about?
I'm going to be doing a presentation along with Jeffrey Roda, who's IBM's Global Manager for Government Education at the World Bank. The title of the event is Transforming Transportation, and it's going to be focused on how countries, particularly developing countries, can really transform their networks in terms of what technology they use, what practices, and how they can really optimize development of usually very scarce resources that have the best impact for the quality of life for their citizens when it comes to transportation networks. My particular end of it is the technology, where I'll talk about kind of the transformation, and many of my Thinking Highways articles in the last few years have talked about the second convergence and the fact that for the last several thousand years of history, since recorded history, and then for the last 200 years since the Industrial Revolution, it's been about building things, building highways, building bridges, and then in the last 200 years, building steam trains, aircraft, cars, trucks, anything that travels on it. So the real issue is the technology shift is really shifting from building things that the vehicles run on, or building the vehicles themselves, to developing the data ecosystem to really manage all the information that these systems generate, all of the data these systems generate, and then turn that data back into useful information, whether it's to relieve traffic congestion, lower carbon footprint, create fuel efficiencies, create modal optimization. In other words, people riding, the right number of people using the highways for good capacity versus the right number of people using public transportation or walking or cycling.
Interesting enough, Peter Appel, former administrator of RITA, has written an article in the new Thinking Highways North America, which of course your article follows on from that one, funny enough. He talks about it's time for North America to stop building their way out of problems. You can't keep building, you can't be adding concrete. It's looking at the use of intelligent infrastructure or intelligently using what you've already got. So is that a similar theme to what you're talking about there?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's the idea, and it's finally catching on in the U.S. The U.S. in particular, even more so than Canada, has very much needed to evolve in terms of how it procures and how it writes grants for transportation, because the old model, which was very viable for many, many years, was we need to build X number of railroad lines or tram lines into the city, or streetcars or light rails, or we need to build extra capacity on lanes, and the formulas for writing grants and procuring systems were largely built on linear feet of bridges or lane miles of highway. What really needs to be done, and what's increasingly starting to be done in the U.S. With many different innovative levels, both at the federal level and at individual state DOT or city levels, is how you procure data, whether it's software as a service, cloud, all of those things that have kind of nominally been binned as services are now really part of the infrastructure enhancement itself. And more DOTs and cities and agencies are able to kind of leverage the fact that they want to buy increasing capacity, not necessarily build lanes or highways. So it's definitely all very tied in together and a major topic for discussion within the North American market here.
David Pickerel, as usual, thanks so much for joining us on Thinking Aloud. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. You're listening to Thinking Aloud, brought to you by Moxa, Iteris, INRIX, and by Trafax. And we're here at the TRB annual meeting here in Washington, D.C. Now, you may or may not know that my background in this industry is actually providing providing real-time traffic information for radio stations. That's how I got into this in the first place. And so whenever I see the word real-time anywhere, my interest is piqued, shall we say that. So I've come to a company called Real-Time Technologies Incorporated, and I've been joined by Clayne Woodbury, who's the National Sales Manager, who's here in Washington, come over from Utah. So Clayne, thanks for joining us on the program. Tell us, what is Real-Time Technologies?
Our background is in developing vehicle models that are high fidelity, that allow us to deliver a product. What we do is we take a vehicle cab and we instrument it for a particular type of task, whether it be military training or whether it be law enforcement training or human factors research. And so this type of task is very important that it's done in a real-time environment so that it can be very realistic. We are putting them in a vehicle simulator, and what we're doing is we're monitoring all that they do within the vehicle. So all of their driving behavior, it could be, you know, where they're scanning their eyes. It could be the placement of the steering wheel. It could be, you know, how well they're braking or accelerating. And it could be matched up against the policies and procedures of a particular task that they're asked to do. And so what's nice about it is we don't feel like we're sending a product out there for trainers to beat up their trainees with. What we're doing is we're helping the trainers at being an extension of themselves to get a point across so that they can do their job better. And so that's what we do in just every facet of ground vehicle training.
So when somebody wants to actually use your product, do they have to come to one of your simulators, or does the simulator go to them?
Great question. We don't lease or rent our products. In our world and in their world, our customers, they want the product. They're the experts. They really are. Whether they be at George Mason University, they have the machine that's built based on their specification for the human factors research that they do. Or it could be someone like the Ohio State University. There, they have our machine, they have our simulator, and they actually have a couple of them that is in their lab, in their brick and mortar, that's set aside for their research. So, I mean, that's really, for this type of device, you know, we have sold to a few folks around the country that have our product in a tractor trailer configuration, and they go around and they do training of different fleets, and we're, you know, and they've been successful, but it's normally we're selling the product to the client.
Now, I come from Great Britain, as you can tell by my accent. Yep. We drive on the left-hand side of the road. If we in Great Britain wanted to buy your product, could you reconfigure everything to cope with that?
Yes, and we have. We're actually working, I don't know if you know this university, we're talking to a university in the Midlands, which is called Warwick University.
Yep. And we call it Warwick, but
okay,
go
okay,
with it.
Thank
yep.
you. And I should know better because I talked to the professors there. They came over to the United States, and we've, you know, sat down with them. We're in the running on a tender that's now in play for an opportunity to deliver a very high fidelity vehicle simulator to them. And of course, it'll have all the attributes of right-hand drive.
Fantastic. Clayne, if you do ever come over to Warwick, then it's very close to Stratford-upon-Avon. You can go and see where Shakespeare was born at the same time.
I would love that. My wife would love that.
There you go. So really good to meet you. Thanks for your time on Thinking Aloud.
All right, take care.
BlueFax by Trafax is a revolutionary line of traffic surveillance equipment that employs Bluetooth technology to provide accurate travel time and origin destination data for vehicle and pedestrian applications and for use in environments that include high-speed or arterial roadways and security checkpoints. For all applications, the data always belongs to you. Check out our website at trafaxinc.com or follow us on Twitter to hear about new products applications, and software updates at twitter.com/TrafX_update.
I'm here with Tom Blair from iTerris. And Tom, you are new to the transportation industry, but you have a very rich background. I'm excited to talk about, a little bit about that. So, but first I'd like to start out and just have you tell everyone what you're doing now with iTerris and a little bit about iPerform.
iTerris, 18 months ago, formed a new division that comprised of a traffic information company called Berkeley Transportation Systems and a weather information company called Meridian Environmental Technologies. And we primarily do predictive technologies, looking at the interaction of different data sets, in particular weather and traffic, how pavement condition weather can affect traffic patterns, bottlenecks, congestion, and the ability to predict those into the future.
So it strikes me that, first of all, it's very exciting. And there's a lot going on in that industry. I happen to know that you've come from an IT background and an entrepreneurial IT background. I am very fascinated to know your observations of how that world differs from what you're seeing now in transportation and some of the public sector agencies that you work with.
Yeah, that's right. For 20 years of my career, I worked in Asia and Europe, primarily doing distributed database systems and some distributed imaging systems. And you see very similar technologies being applied to the transportation sectors now, especially with the rise of massive amounts of sensors. Traditionally, you had a finite amount of data sources that you could ingest and then perform the analytics. And that's really where you see the original business intelligence industry on SQL databases and such, and some of those distributed technologies. So what we're doing now is leveraging those types of mature types of technologies into the traffic and weather information space. You see a proliferation of sensors, and with the sensor data through crowdsourcing, you see UAVs with different remote sensing, remote imaging devices on there. You have multi-spectral imaging devices at intersections, and that really starts to fill the void that we've traditionally had in the traffic and weather space of real finite sensing on things like arterial roads. Those have traditionally been very weak data sets, and it's very difficult, very, very sparse, lack of quality, and it's very difficult to perform things like predictive analytics and some of the long-range forecasting that's required to make decisions about a traffic network or about a weather network. So we see that convergence of technologies and the influence it has on this analytics space. We feel that the analytics and visualization technologies that iTerris provides are of great value not only to the public sector markets but now into some of these other commercial sector markets as well, the fleets, the logistics, the media reports on these. So the advent of these technologies in the public sector space has it also has a profound effect on these commercial spaces as well.
So I'm hearing both public sector and private sector. I've spent a lot of my career in the public sector and am very keen on the whole data analytics piece that's coming. What would you say to public agencies that are running transportation systems about how data analytics is going to be a part of their future?
Yeah, so recently the FHWA purchased a federal data set for each of the states. So that historic data set is free to the states now. So it's one thing to have the data, but how do you analyze that data? How do you ingest it? How do you visualize it and make it actionable information? And that's really where we come in. At iTerris, we provide different software applications that can take any type of data, either the federal data or if they have their own data sets, their own sensors, both historic, real-time, fixed sensors, video sensors, just any type of data, you can ingest that. And then making that actionable so you can make strategic decisions based on that data, on the performance of your road networks, on the future planning of those road networks, everything from on-ramp metering to congestion analysis to flow analysis. Being able to visualize that and make it actionable in a very short period of time.
So making actionable decisions, that's really important in a state DOT and in a city government and that sort of thing, particularly in an era where money is tight. And so I see data analytics being a way to really justify and quantify and help make some of those grounded decisions. Is that what you're seeing?
Yes, that's right. So traditionally, that's been the purvey of this, the state DOTs. And now what you're seeing is, because of the ability to deliver these analytics packages on a cloud basis across the web, it becomes much more cost-effective. So you can get down to very granular data sets for municipalities, for instance, and give them the power that traditionally has been at the federal or state level. So it really allows virtually any agency or any company of any size to leverage these powerful analytics and the sensor packages that go with them.
That's Tom Blair from iTerris talking to our special guest interviewer, Shelley Rowe. Now, with Shelley's background, she's managed to open many doors that are often shut to us ordinary journalists, and so we'll be hearing more from her over the weeks to come on Thinking Aloud. Next up, let's talk to Ted Trapanier from INRIX. He's talking about how INRIX has become a global player in such a short time, but first I asked him about their latest product.
The latest thing we have is our nationwide analytics suite. So folks have known for a long time that INRIX has both real-time, historical, and predictive information. What we now have is a whole suite of tools to help turn that traffic data into performance measures that agencies can use right away.
Now, you're actually a company that is younger than Thinking Highways, but in a very short space of time, you've grown from an idea up in Washington State to a global player. How's that happened?
It's been a singular focus is how our growth has happened, and just this focus on traffic data and be the best traffic data provider worldwide is the goal. And so with this singular focus, we've had tremendous growth.
You're offering your data for the public sector. So what does the public sector want from you, and what do they use it for?
So there's several things that public agencies do with the INRIX data. The first one is system awareness in real time. So in traffic operations, it's very important to know what's going on in your system instantly. And so in being able to see slowdowns right away and the extent of the backups is very important for folks operating the system. And then planners use the data from more of a historical perspective. So being able to take our data, which the archive goes back several years, and look for trends and things on the system that are persistent choke points, and so to be able to quantify the impacts of congestion using the historical data for planning is also important. And then here especially, there is a focus on government accountability, and so in performance assessment, again, being able to actually look and show folks what they're getting for their dollar, right? So this accountability of government, they can use our data to show the benefits of a road work that's been done, or something as small as a traffic signal retiming project.
And where else is your data found?
Our data is found in hundreds of places. So there's well over 200 customers using INRIX data. And so our data can be found on a number of the traveler information systems across the U.S. and in other places in Europe. And we're expanding into China right now as well.
Just congratulations. I'll keep watching the world domination by INRIX. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
iTerris provides information solutions for state-of-the-art traffic management and is the global market leader in video-based vehicle detection with more than 100,000 systems deployed. The company is focused on the development and application of advanced technologies and software-based information systems that reduce traffic congestion and provide measurement, management, and predictive traffic analytics to improve the safety of surface transportation systems. By combining its products with decades of expertise in traffic management and information technologies, iTerris offers a broad range of ITS solutions to customers worldwide.
If you come to events like these often, you'll know that the conversations and networking doesn't stop when the exhibition halls and seminar rooms are shut. There are many drinks and dinners to keep you entertained in the evening. One Kevin and I went to was a so-called tweet-up organised by friend of Thinking Highways, Andy Palanisamy, solely on Twitter, and it attracted a very noisy and young clientele. So noisy, in fact, that when we wanted to talk to the event's sponsors, Driverless Transportation, we had to step outside onto the street. Here's Kevin.
I'm joined by the three principals, Rick Sterrett, John Estrada, and Manuel Villar. Manuel, I'm going to come to you first.
Could you please explain, obviously our listeners understand the idea of concept, the concept of driverless transportation, but what is it in terms that you do?
We're more of a two-pronged approach where we are looking at bringing together as much information about driverless transportation, whether that's connected vehicles or infrastructure, because there's so much information out there, it's really hard to find what you're looking for. So what we do is we bring together as much information as possible into our website, Driverless Transportation, correlate this information to be able to vend this out and share this information in the industry. The second piece that we do is engineering services, where we provide engineering services and consulting for government entities, product vendors, and other consulting groups that are out there.
In terms of driverless transportation with a lowercase d and t, and that to the concept of it, there are other schemes available, Ann Arbor being one of the most famous ones. So John, what is it that's so different about what you do?
So what we're doing is aggregating information. So whether it's from Ann Arbor, whether it's a company out of Australia, whether it's down here in the DC area, and aggregating it. So it's a single place where you can get information worldwide or about things that are happening worldwide. We think actually DC though is a pretty significant hub. The United States Department of Transportation is based here. Actually, a number of manufacturers like Audi's headquarters are in Virginia. Virginia Tech is one of the biggest research institutes. So this is a logical place. And the federal government's a big payer for these kind of things.
Rick, in terms of what you do, what do you bring to the party, as it were, and how can people find out more about what you do?
My background, as well as John's and Manuel's, is in software development, systems development. We kind of got together because we think this is the next big thing. We think that a rush of technology is going to make some great changes both in our society. It's going to drive changes in our legal and regulatory systems. It's going to drive changes in the way we behave. And so we're excited about that, and that's why we got interested in this. We're kind of serial entrepreneurs, and the idea of aggregating this information, being able to figure out what's going on in this marketplace, and then at some point maybe launching a product or two into that marketplace is what really interests us.
The question we always ask people, which always sets them a little bit of a task, is why did you decide to do this now?
For me, I'm a big science fiction buff, and I've always been interested in the flying car, the driverless car, but once I really put my mind to it, once John had spoken to me about it, I thought, my background is cybersecurity. I run cyber operations for different agencies. It was the fear, the my fear and my concern for life safety in this new transportation industry, this driverless transportation industry, how to ensure the security and the safety of all the people sitting in these cars. So that's what got me involved.
Where does ride sharing come into this? Does it come into it at all?
We think it's growing, and you know, the reason we've seen Google made like a $250 million investment in Uber is in the long run that ride sharing becomes extraordinarily profitable. We don't have to pay the driver. Right? And so ultimately, you know, once you get through all vehicles being autonomous, you probably won't own one. You're simply going to rent one, get a service. You're driving home by yourself, you'll be in a smart car, you're taking the family camping, show up in the equivalent of a Suburban. Cars sit around 95% of the time doing nothing. So if you can just get a service, it'll make it. So you know, Google's looking ahead, and I think that's where one of the reasons Uber's doing so well.
Thanks, bud. So, Rick, final word goes to you. So,
sure.
Can you tell people where they can find out more about you?
We have a website, www.driverlesstransportation.com, all one word, .com. And we also have a Twitter handle, @driverlesstrans.
Excellent. So, Rick Sterrett, John Estrada, Manuel Villar, thanks for your time and good luck with what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Driverless Transportation's three principals, talking to Kevin and rounding off this edition of Thinking Aloud, brought to you by Inrix, iTerris, Moxa and Trafax. Kevin and I are heading back to Great Britain now, but we'll have more from this event in a bonus show soon. We've had a great time here in DC. It's my first visit to the place and I've absolutely loved it. We'll be back in the US for the ITS World Congress in September, if not before, but for now, thanks America, and thank you for listening to Thinking Aloud.
Thinking Aloud was presented by Paul Hutton and produced by Danny Cox. Thinking Aloud is a PH Initiatives production for Thinking Highways.